Bo and McGee for TKD.
All right, folks, this is Mo and McGee on TKD. Another football weekend down. Another bunch of wins for me, Kevin. How about yourself?
Yeah, probably split it about 50-50. Panthers took the loss, but hey, they have Stephon Gilmore now, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, big trade news today. I'm still waiting. Jalen Smith, sideline to sideline guy, hoping my Vikings can land him, help the 28th ranked run defense that apparently, I don't know what Zimmer's use is anymore if he can't coach defense, but that's for a different podcast.
Yeah, no kidding, especially since it sounds like he's a lock for the Packers. So at least you'll have him in the division.
Yeah, no, he's a North guy. Well, Kevin, first off, I want to congratulate you on me and Kevin entered a fishbowl this year. So it's about 95, I think, teams. Really interesting format. I think everyone should get into a fishbowl, but Kevin, for the second time in 4 weeks, was the high point man in our entire 95 team league. So congrats, Kevin.
Thank you. Top two scores, 182 weeks. I wish that would translate to the TKD league, but you win some, you lose some, and I'm just gonna take my money to the bank from that league.
All right. Well, Kevin, we promised the listeners last time a brand new format, and we're going to deliver to them. So why don't you tell them kind of what's going on, what's going to change, and what's new?
Yeah, so we know that we were sending out one really long podcast every week, and it was kind of a bear to get through in one sitting, especially if you were getting reset to the beginning of the episode, trying to figure out where you were, that sort of thing. So we're splitting it up, 4 episodes per week. One special TKD podcast per week, and you'll see each of these episodes kind of have a little bit of a theme to them. Maybe focusing on generalized strategy, maybe focusing on the week ahead, focusing on the recap of last week, but targeted shorter segments, hopefully keep you guys entertained.
Absolutely. Well, let's kick off this first episode of our new 4-episode series, and this is our weekend recap, and talk a little bit about specific players that maybe caught our eye throughout the weekend. Definitely talk about the injuries that impact each person's lineup, and maybe players that we think are catching some steam, and maybe players that need to maybe go onto benches or on the waiver wire. Let's start with our familiar segment, Kevin. Names to remember or names to forget.
Yeah, so bringing this one back, I like it. I know you like it. Hopefully everybody else likes it, because I think we'll be seeing this one every week. But for my first name to remember, I have Michael Pittman. So probably not a guy that you're seeing on waiver wires, but a guy that maybe is stuck on a lot of benches out in different leagues, and could be a prime trade target. He's a guy that I kind of expect has had some bad luck early in the season and could be in line for a blow up. So get your hands out there on him before he blows up and that price skyrockets.
Go ahead. Kevin, I mean, Ankles McGee is throwing him the ball.
Ankles McGee, maybe, but you know what? Ankles McGee is still giving him 5 red zone targets this season, 25% target share, 39% of all the Colts' air yards, and that's with Nyheim Hines. I know that those aren't necessarily deep throws, but in that offense, you're seeing a guy that, on a per-game basis, wide receiver 43, but his usage is up there for wide receiver 12. If you look at the types of targets that he's getting, the high value targets in the red zone, plus he's facing a bunch of AFC South defenses the rest of the season, which if we were to pick out one dog shit division, that's probably it. So get ready, Michael Pittman. I know the quarterback's an issue, but they should be trailing, should be feeding that guy the ball.
I like it. He's a guy that does interest me in trades as well, as a guy who's, like you said, having he's a fourth of that offense, really, if you're talking about air yards and target percentage. He's a guy I like as well, Kevin. Who should maybe be welcome to Dropsville, or who should we start forgetting about, Kevin?
You can start forgetting about Jalen Reagor. Maybe not drop him in dynasty leagues, but droppable in redraft, I think. Last game, Hurts throws the ball 48 times. Jalen Reagor, supposed to be a really good wide receiver in that offense, right? One target. You're battling Devonta Smith. Kenneth Gainwell's picking up speed. There's still Miles Sanders. I'm a big Quaz Watkins fan. Somehow a team that had, plus two tight ends, but a team that somehow didn't have any weapons last year seemingly has too many weapons for Reagor to compete with. And if you look down that schedule, not looking very good for him. I know they play Denver, a few other tough defenses coming up. I think Reagor can be a Dropsville right now.
Yeah, you kind of said it, Kevin. It does concern me that now this is 2 years in a row. I know he was injured, but you saw Travis Fulgham gain more snaps than Jalen Reagor last year, and now Quez Watkins is taking snaps from him. So not really good for a guy that was taking a pick ahead of Justin Jefferson, NFL superstar.
Yikes. And that there's a reason the Vikings were probably laughing at that pick.
Absolutely. Kevin, I'm going to, for my name to remember, I'm going to give you a little scenario here, all right? A player A, player B, blind draw. I love these. I hope you do as well. This player A, in the last 2 weeks, has had six targets in each game. He's had 10 catches total for 132 yards and a touchdown. That's player A. Get those numbers?
I jotted them down.
All right. Player B also has six targets in both games, seven catches, and 82 yards and a touchdown. Player A is Van Jefferson. Player B, Robert Woods, who many drafted in the fourth and fifth rounds of drafts, including yours truly, in Fishbowl. Van Jefferson is my name that you need to remember, and maybe a person that is out there in a lot of leagues. In ESPN leagues currently, he's rostered at only 8.4% of leagues, so widely available. However, he's giving you the exact same production, if not more, than Robert Woods. Van Jefferson is currently the 38th ranked PPR receiver, Woods 40th. They're seeing about the same number of targets. And in fact, Van Jefferson has more air yards on his targets than Robert Woods. I don't know if this is more of an indictment about where what we should be thinking about Robert Woods, but Van Jefferson is a person that I think if you're needing a wide receiver, if you're in a league that starts three receivers, if you're in a double flex league, I think this is a guy that is interesting as a piece of a really high-powered offense. Maybe not week-to-week value, but if they go against a weak secondary like they are on Thursday, I think he's interesting as a potential flex play.
Yeah, I like all those points. And, you know, maybe the only one that you didn't hit on that I had written down was think about what if Cooper Kupp goes down, something that has happened a couple seasons here. How are those targets going to get spread around? I see those going more to Van Jefferson just with his downfield style of play. You mentioned more air yards than Robert Woods, who's kind of been that possession guy that Goff is able to lean on, hit on a lot of slants. I think Stafford wants to push, and I think that's going to go to Jefferson. So on top of, you know, really similar snap share to Robert Woods, also huge upside if Cooper Kupp goes down.
Absolutely, yeah. Robert Woods going down as well as to Van Jefferson's gain. So a lot to like there. Something that I do not like is what's happening to Myles Gaskin out in Miami. Myles Gaskin, I don't think anybody was jumping to get him in drafts, but he did go in that kind of running back three-ish range. And he got two carries this week, Kevin. Two carries. Now, the Dolphins largely abandoned the running game in the second half against Indy. However, Malcolm Brown outpaced him in touches, as did Salvin Ahmed. That's very concerning to me when he's not only the second on the totem pole, but third. he's still on my bench in my league that I have him. I don't think you should drop him yet. However, this usage pattern is very concerning.
Yeah, completely unplayable. Only on the field for 12 snaps to Malcolm Brown's 35. Weird game, but I see that more as a trend than a factor of the weird game. That offense is really bad. Malcolm Brown will be out there to pass block, since apparently that's what he's really good at, and they should be trailing a lot.
Yeah, and the offensive coordinator for Miami clearly stated before this Indy game that they wanted to get Malcolm Brown in more. As a Gaskin owner, that's extremely concerning. So he's a guy I'm still holding on to, but he's kind of, my hand is hovering over the drop button, Kevin.
And as it should be. Let's move it on to our next segment. A new one here, next man up. With this new segment, what we're looking at is guys that have gone down to injury in the last week. Who's going to pop up and be a benefactor of that? You know, obviously never like to see anybody go down, but ultimately you'll see some guys rising up the depth chart as a piece of that, or just getting more attention. So let's start it off strong with, you know, one of the longer term injuries, David Montgomery, sprained knee, out 4 to 5 weeks. Who do you see being the major benefactor of that injury?
Yeah, I think the obvious answer is Damian Williams, but I'm going to skip him for now because he's kind of banged up as well, Kevin. Has a thigh injury, might not be able to suit up this weekend. At that time, it turns to Khalil Herbert, right, Kevin? Do we have any idea who he is? No, not really.
But I know his name just because I had to look up who the hell it was, but that's about it. Yeah, very, very no-name guy out there.
Yeah, sixth round pick in this last year's draft. He had an impressive preseason, Kevin. He was kind of playing behind Montgomery, Damian Williams, as Montgomery kind of sat out a lot of the preseason. It's hard for me to gauge anything out of a preseason game. He got 3 carries against Detroit, turned him into 7 yards. This is kind of a mess for me. I don't like the Bears offense to begin with. They're traveling west to play Vegas this weekend. I don't know if I start any of them if Damian Williams is healthy, or Khalil Herbert if he's not.
Yeah, I hold David Montgomery in very high regard. I think he's a very special running back. I know Damian Williams did have success in Kansas City, but I'm not sure that anybody outside of David Montgomery can run behind that offensive line in that offense. And I think the move from Andy Dalton to Justin Fields as the permanent quarterback going forward, announced earlier today, is kind of a symptom of that. I think they realize they're not going to be able to run the ball like they want to. And they want to get Justin Fields in there to be an additional runner, but also maybe push the ball a little bit more than Andy Dalton would. So I see actually Darnell Mooney and Allen Robinson as benefactors, even more than those running backs. I see the Bears having to open it up. I would not be shocked if they come out, run the ball 15 times for 35 yards, and then you're seeing Fields really chuck the ball a lot more.
Yeah, here's an undercover name, Kevin. If you're a tight end needy, Cole Kmet, who's been pretty well pacing the Chicago Bears tight end room and snaps and routes run. He's a guy that's kind of interesting for me as a young rookie quarterback coming in, maybe trying to find closer routes to the field or to the pocket. I think Cole Kmet could benefit from the switch to Fields and the loss of Montgomery as well. One last thing about the backfield that we didn't really talk about. Fields takes all the touchdown upside away from the backfield as well. He's going to be, I see a lot of Cam Newton in him, where when it gets to the goal line, they're just going to have him run it in. And so I don't like any Chicago running back to take over that production that Montgomery was giving you.
Yeah, Fields is a surprisingly big guy, and why would you not run bootlegs with him on the goal line and just let him get it in space and dump it off or run it in? So, and on that note, let's move on to Joe Mixon, who left the final drive of that Cincinnati Bengals game hurt. Low ankle sprain is questionable for this week. Seems like it's going to be a short-term absence. Does anybody intrigue you as a short-term or a long-term guy coming from that Joe Mixon injury?
Yeah, like you said, I think this might only be a one-week injury. This is kind of just an excuse for me to talk about Chris Evans.
I wanted to talk about Chris Evans too, so I'm
He's a guy that I actually really like, and I was really excited this offseason when Cincinnati got rid of Gio Bernard because I thought they were going to give that role to Chris Evans. Chris Evans, sixth-round draft pick out of Michigan, pretty twitchy guy, person who at Michigan was pretty successful. Now last year, COVID, he didn't play much, but in his freshman and sophomore years, he rushed for over 600 yards. In his sophomore year, he also caught 16 balls. I think he's a guy who, if given a chance, could be pretty good, in an NFL run scheme.
Yeah. This is a Bengals offense that at one time is throwing the ball 45 times. Per game early in the season last year before Burrow goes down. I could see them totally abandoning the run. We do have to mention Samaje Perine, mm-hmm. probably going to get the first and second down work, possibly the goal line as well. But Chris Evans is more intriguing to me because he will likely be the back involved in the passing game, and just does have that unknown upside that if they give him the shot, you don't know what could happen. So he's the guy that I'm – have my eye on in this 1 week if Mixon is not able to go.
Yeah. You know what's a little crazy, though, about Samaje Perine? Has been pretty unremarkable in the NFL, but boy, was he a special college back at Oklahoma. I think he at one point had the single game rushing record. Ran for over 200 yards multiple times, but was probably a product of that Oklahoma offense more than
And the Big 12 defenses.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. All right. Let's head to the next guy. DJ Shark ended his season on Thursday night. Is there anything that comes out of that you're interested in?
I don't think James Robinson's going to touch the ball anymore. Maybe a few more dump offs. But I think they're running the ball basically as much as they really are able to at this point. So I'm seeing Laviska Shenault and Marvin Jones as getting the biggest boost from this. Those targets have to go somewhere, albeit not a ton to go around extra, but you could see Laviska get involved a little bit more differently than he had in the past, maybe some deeper targets. And obviously Marvin Jones, that's more his game. He could also absorb a lot of that. I have a feeling that Trevor Lawrence is going to lock in on one of them. I just hope it's Laviska.
Yeah. I actually think a person that's very interesting is after DJ Shark went down, Tavon Austin played 41 of 56 offensive snaps, a guy that has been largely disappointing in his NFL career. Jacksonville's going to be down a lot in every game. He's a guy that had three targets on Cincinnati in that Cincinnati game on Thursday. I think as he gets more acclimated in the offense, could run a lot of those slot routes, maybe help Trevor Lawrence out a little bit. I don't know. It's just a little flyer. You could take a flyer on him if you're in a league that you can roster 20-ish people. I think Tavon Austin is interesting.
Yeah, another name to throw out there, Jamal Agnew. Explosive guy, won't be fantasy playable, but could be annoying enough if you're a Laviska or Marvin Jones owner or are taking a shot on Tavon Austin.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, let's go to our next segment. Oh, shit.
Yeah, so just to list off, five guys also went down. Will Fuller hurt his hand, hit IR. Garoppolo, interesting thing going on in San Francisco. Is he hurt? Is he not? We'll never know. Teddy Bridgewater, Logan Thomas, Tony Jones. Any of those guys trip your trigger, or is it all basically you're just SOL if you had any of those guys?
Yeah, the one thing that I think affects the most fantasy players would be the Garoppolo to Lance transition, which I think will probably be season long. They're not going to put Trey Lance out there and then pull him back. It's just not going to happen. So I think the 49ers are now committed to the Trey Lance experiment. Does that help a guy who's been struggling like George Kittle? Does it hinder a guy who's been super reliable and Debo Samuel? Or does it just keep the status quo? It's interesting to me. I own a lot of 49ers backfield. I think I have Elijah Mitchell or Trey Sermon in every league this year just because I wanted a piece. In a couple of them, I have both of those guys, which is a huge headache. but does Trey Lance help the run game or does he hurt it? Once again, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, very similar body types. Is Trey Lance going to just, once they get in the 5-yard line, just look at the end zone, start salivating? I don't know. With these rookies, we have no idea, and that's what kind of intrigues me about Garoppolo going down this early in the season.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Trey Lance. You mentioned especially goal line. He could scalp a bunch of those touchdowns that you were banking on going to those running backs. And also, does this bring Brandon Ayuk back into the fold a little bit? You hope so if you're holding on to him. And if not, that's going to be a pretty easy drop, I think.
Absolutely. Well, any of those five that you want to talk about?
No, I think Ricky Seals-Jones is going to be intriguing as a replacement for Logan Thomas. Logan Thomas was basically on the field for every snap. Somebody has to play that spot. It'd be nice if McKissick somehow was able to play tight end and that kept Antonio Gibson on the field, but that's unrealistic. So maybe if you see Ricky Seals-Jones get 8 targets and a touchdown, he's going to be maybe a waiver wire pickup, but that's about it.
All right, Kevin. Now let's go to our new subject, segment here. Hot or not? These are players that, you know, might be cooking something, might be ready to fly out of the pan. Some of them you need to throw in the trash. Let's start with a guy who we've talked about a lot on this show because, I mean, let's just face it, he has been hot, Cordarrelle Patterson. I think the real question, though, is does the hot streak continue?
Yeah, he's been on fire, 3 receiving touchdowns last game, playing a very limited snap share. I'm going to go not hot. I have him in a bunch of leagues, but I don't trust a 30-year-old breakout. I think he will be playable. He's going to have enough receiving game work, especially in PPR leagues, to be playable. But I don't expect him to have the expectation of being an RB1 week to week. He probably finishes mid to low RB2, so very playable, I think, in a lot of spots. But I'm going to go not hot, not the breakout guy that he's been in the first 4 weeks.
Yeah, what do you mean? He's not going to finish as the number 3 PPR running back, Kevin?
I sure hope he does, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I actually, believe it or not, it might make me a little perverted to say this, Kevin, but I still kind of like Mike Davis. No. The snap share is still there. And I don't know, Cordarrelle Patterson doesn't scare me much if I'm a Mike Davis owner. Now, yes, Mike Davis hasn't been great, but he hasn't been totally unplayable. He hasn't been droppable. So I still keep your simmer down. I still think Mike Davis can return some value here.
One more point on that. I don't necessarily think it's Cordarrelle versus Mike Davis. They are competing for the same spot, but just with how each is used, they have value in different ways. Mike Davis, if they get on the goal line, you hope that he's running it in. Cordero, out in open field, they're going to try to get him in some spots where get some easy catches, just let him make things happen. So not necessarily one or the other, but yes, I agree. Maybe simmer a little bit, but I still think Cordero, end of season, RB2.
Yeah. Kevin, one last thing about Mike Davis. Guess how many catches he has without looking it up?
He had a lot in week one, I think. I think he probably has 15?
16 catches. I mean, he has not gotten into the end. He got in the end zone against Washington. He had some bad yardage day other than that. But if he starts getting those goal line touchdowns, like you said, I think he can be pretty good. Let's talk about your boy, Kevin, the guy that's leading the Panthers to the promised land, a guy that in Write That Down, I said is going to finish the year as a top 10 fantasy quarterback. That's Sam. Run it in, Darnold.
Yeah, leading the league in rushing touchdowns. Don't expect that to keep up, but man, this guy is hot. I love me some ginger quarterback. Yes, the rushing touchdowns have helped him a lot, but we saw when Carolina had Teddy Bridgewater, Teddy was running it in for touchdowns, and he wasn't necessarily as adept of a runner as Sam Darnold is. So I think some of that is a little sticky. You will see him get more rushing touchdowns this season. And even if some of those inside the 10 rushes for touchdowns turn into passing touchdowns, you know, that still helps him. Over 300 yards the last 3 weeks. That's not something we saw Teddy do. And just as he keeps working in that Joe Brady offense, he's just going to keep getting better. They'll keep adding more weapons back into that offense as guys get healthy and some of their young guys get acclimated. I think sky's the limit for Sam Darnold. I really like that top 10 pick right now.
Yeah, me too. Once again, I'm going to agree with almost everything you said. I'm going to play devil's advocate, though, Kevin. The addition of Stephon Gilmore, at some point, J.C. Horn's going to come back. His defense is good. Does it limit the upside of Sam Darnold?
No. That offense is going to want to go out and score 42 points every single game. I think you'll see that defense be able to turn the field around and give them some short fields and potentially even offer up more touchdowns later in the season. So Gilmore won't come around until week 7. That is if he comes right off the pup, which I think he's expected to. But man, that defense is going to be good. That offense is going to stay good. I love my Panthers this year.
All right, Kevin, a guy who was loving his production on Thursday, CJ Uzoma. I think I know where you're going with this one.
Yeah, this is a token not pick, I think. Seems like fluky 2 touchdowns. Is T. Higgins coming back?
I think he was pretty close to coming back last week. So
Is T. Higgins good at football?
He is.
Oh, man, that's bad news for CJ Uzoma. I think he's going to be a good upside spot start. If you have a bye week at tight end, you can put him in there. He'll probably get 4 catches. You're hoping for a touchdown, but he's not a guy that I'm relying on.
Yeah, Kevin, his touchdowns on Thursday were of 22 and 31 yards. If you are looking for a consistent tight end, which a guy that we might talk about next, you want red zone targets. You want the high value. When Joe Burrow's getting into the 20-yard line, he's looking for the big target, CJ Uzoma. He's not, really. The week before against Pittsburgh, 1 target, 0 catches. He had 4 catches total before that. He's a guy I'm staying away from, even though he had kind of a breakout game on against Jacksonville, of all teams.
Yeah, of all teams. So I don't expect that point total to be sticky at all. Couple guys that have had big weeks the last 1 or 2 weeks, Randall Cobb, Dawson Knox, James Conner, Khalif Raymond, AJ Green, Mike Gesicki. Who out of that list do you want to talk about?
You don't think we're getting out of the hot or not segment without talking about my boy, Dawson Knox.
Last week you were shitting
all over my take that Dawson Knox was very playable, back-end, fancy tight end one. He's up to six now after another two-touchdown performance here. I think this is a guy that should be inserted into lineups now.
Yeah, he did come out, have two touchdowns, and it's tough. Anybody that has multiple touchdown games is a guy that you probably want to have in the lineup. You can say a similar thing about James Conner. I think we might think that maybe Dawson Knox has better upside than James Conner for a lot of reasons. But, yeah, I didn't burn Dawson Knox. I said that he could be playable, but he's much more playable than what I thought a week ago, that's for sure.
All right, Kevin. You listed two old receivers, guys that are over 30, A.J. Green and Randall Cobb. Which one would you rather have rest of season?
Oh, man, that's tough for me. I guess Randall Cobb, because I think the possibility that Rodgers kind of falls back into his love affair with Randall Cobb is more likely than you being able to predict when A.J. Green is going to get one or two touchdowns. So I just think that Cobb is going to be easier to play and be right than A.J. Green is.
I'm going to have to go on the opposite side. I'm going to have to disagree with you a little bit, Kevin. A.J. Green has shown that he can produce. He's had exactly six targets in every game. His, outside of that week one kind of aberration, he's had over 13 points a game, certainly playable as a flex. And I think this offense has enough production to go around. And you're right, there's a lot of mouths to feed, but I think you've seen that they are siphoning off DeAndre Hopkins' targets and they're kind of flowing around the offense, and A.J. Green is a beneficiary.
One thing we've always said, though, in previous podcasts is cream rises, and I think DeAndre Hopkins is going to get his this season, and A.J. Green will burn you several times if you try to play him every week.
Oh, well, yeah, I didn't say to play every week, Kevin. I'm not crazy. all right, Kevin. Well, that's what we want out of our recap episode, right? To get you guys the names to remember, the names to kind of keep your eye on, who was hot, who got injured, who's fading down the stretch here. How do you think that went, Kevin?
I thought it was pretty good. A little bit longer, I think, than what we were expecting. But that's been the theme. We're going to keep coming at you guys with good content. And I hope you like the future episodes.
All right. That's Mo and McGee on TKD recap episode. Look for strategy in the next few days.